News Talk Breakfast. In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.
We are now experiencing near elimination of COVID-19 in the vaccinated population, but 180 Delta variant cases have been confirmed in the country right now. To discuss this and more and continue on from where the Minister for Foreign Affairs left off, I'm joined by Dr. Colm Henry, Chief Clinical Officer with the Health Service Executive. Good morning, Dr. Henry.
Morning,
you're very welcome. Now, given how pathologically cautious Dr. Holohan and Neffat are, it is it's quite extraordinary that they would use the word near elimination, or that they would be almost jubilant about that, which means that we're pretty far ahead of the curve, or things are much better, because they will always downplay it, won't they? So you must be pretty happy with the situation.
There's every reason to be optimistic based on the vaccine program, not just based on what we're experiencing in this country, but looking abroad to countries that are well ahead in their vaccination program, Israel, countries like that, where we're seeing achievements of the vaccine program way beyond what we could have hoped for in the clinical trials. And just to give you some examples in this, we now see for the first time yesterday that 14-day incidence, the number of cases per 100,000 over 14-day period, dropped below 100. It was in its thousands in the middle of January. We were now struggling in the past week with a cyber attack, as you know, our data hasn't been as more difficult to come to. But we usually record those healthcare associated infections. That's to say, people who catch COVID in a hospital setting. That was 500 in 1 week in January. We had none last week. Numbers of healthcare workers were reaching 1,000 in hospitals per week in the middle of January, and now in single figures. So among the vaccinated groups, huge protection. And hardly any outbreaks. We were having 7 outbreaks a day in nursing homes in the middle of January, causing considerable harm, causing death, unfortunately, in many cases, and also outbreaks in hospitals, making them a very, in a sense, not safe places.
But so am I reading it right then, so, Colm? I mean, given how, as I said, and I used the word specifically, I wasn't, you know, showing off my vocabulary, you and your colleagues in Neffat are pathologically cautious. And look, God bless you for it. But for you to be as almost as jubilant or as emphatic as near elimination means that you've got to be pretty happy with the way things are right now.
Well, I'm not just here, I'm not a spokesperson for Neffat.
No,
I'm
understand.
I'm here from the HSE, but I am certainly jubilant over the effect that the vaccine programme is having on vaccinated people. It's giving great protection, it's saving lives, and of course, it's releasing people from the binds of the social restrictions.
Okay, the one major caveat with all of that, though, is that there's a distinct possibility and worry in the UK that they're facing a fourth wave because they opened up too soon and they're now having to roll back on that. We have a 300-kilometre border with the UK, so if it's over there, it's very likely in the north, and if it's up there, then it's going to come down here.
Yes, and it's not the first time we faced a variant. This Delta variant, yes, is running amok in England and Wales. It's gone from about 30% of the cases they're sequenced through this whole genomic sequencing to over 90% of cases. And yes, it's more transmissible, 60% more transmissible. Yes, it's more. The vaccines aren't as effective against it. But there's good news came through last week from Public Health England that looked at what happens people in terms of their risk of hospitalisation after being vaccinated against the Delta variant. And what they found was 92% reduction in hospitalisation. If you're fully vaccinated with the AZ vaccine, it's 92% reduction with the Pfizer vaccine and 94% reduction. So we're still seeing that despite this variant and despite all the concerns about it, and I remind you, Mark, we have 180 cases here, which is a very small number still. I've no doubt the number will go up, but as long as we keep that number low, it allows us to get that vaccine programme out through the 40s, through the 30s, that the portal will be opening out this coming Sunday, and allow us to protect that population and make the Delta variant much less a scare for all of us.
Majority of people getting infected now are under 45. We've hit peak numbers in terms of people getting vaccinated, with up to 330,000 doses to be administered this week. But things are going to slow down now for people in the under 30s age range. Is this a supply issue, or is it that you can afford to slow the vaccination down in those age cohorts?
We've always made it clear, and people will be well aware, over the many disruptions there have been to supply, particularly AstraZeneca since the beginning of this programme. Fortunately, the Pfizer vaccine has been more reliable right through from the beginning of this programme, since the first stock arrived on St. Stephen's Day of last year. And so what we're seeing now is, what we want to do is complete those dose 2 AstraZenecas, because we know now from that recent evidence coming out that you do not really get good protection protection after just one dose in terms of the Delta variant particularly. We want to finish those dose twos in those 450,000 people who received dose one AstraZeneca, get them vaccinated in an accelerated way, not just a 12-week gap, bringing them back to 8-week gaps, which we started on Monday of this week, and we go through right the month of July. And in parallel with that, begin the 30s. So as you correctly point out, only 2% of cases over 65 years of age and 66% of cases less than 35. We know the virus is much less harmful in younger people, but nevertheless, we also know that there have been cases of hospitalised people, and we know there's been cases of people who got long COVID syndrome that haven't necessarily been hospitalised. So okay, we want to get them too.
I know it's an area that you don't want to get into. You are a clinician. I understand that. But you and Neffet have stepped into the societal realm in terms of giving people instructions as to how they're living their lives. You've probably seen the papers this morning already telling people in the under 30s that no, don't go on holidays this year. You've already heard Ciara and I debate it. You heard it debated. You heard Simon Coveney talking about it as well too. How are you justifying this, given that this is an age cohort who are less likely to be affected and infected? No, some, I'm not saying, you know, I'm being general here. And also, they have now become very educated about the antigen and anti-antigen position. And they're going, well, hang on a second. If there's a test that is reasonably accurate and tell me whether I'm infectious or not, why can't we use that? And if I'm infectious, I don't go on holidays. But if I'm not, then I can. And how do we sell, given that they've been so compliant for the last year and a half, how do we sell this? No, sorry, we can't take the brakes off. We can't take the shackles off yet. You still have to lock down for another couple of months.
First of all, as with any, I'd hope any doctor, we give advice. We don't tell people what to do. And there's many instances where doctors give advice to people and people choose whether to take the advice or not. But it's a question of giving advice in order to keep people safe. With regards to travel, the advice, of course, is at this point in time, and it's as we know, government is planning to review that advice on July 21st, is to travel abroad only if absolutely necessary. And of course, we're advising people that they're much safer if they're fully vaccinated. That's what the evidence shows. And remember, Mark, it's not the advice that's causing harm necessarily. It's the virus that caused harm from the very beginning. It's the virus that caused deaths. It's the virus that caused illness. It's the virus that caused outbreaks. It's the virus that led to those crude measures in the absence of any treatment and the absence of any specific cure that led to the only treatment we had to avoid transmission of the virus between individuals with those horrible social restriction measures that come in. But this vaccine programme offers huge hope. We're seeing, as I said, benefits and protection at an individual level, and that we can project onto a population level, a society level, beyond what we could have hoped for. And our ultimate saviour will be getting the levels of uptake in this country have been truly astonishing among all age groups to date. And if we see that continued high uptake, it's good news for all of us.
I know you don't want to get into the antigen debate, but and it's not a cure and nobody's purporting that it is, but it is a useful tool. Why not use it? I mean, the chief scientific officer is in favour of it. Taoiseach sat where you did last week and I heard him say it. He said, I'm not entirely sure what the objection is. I don't understand why not. But the CMO and Neffet are adamantly against it.
Well, to be clear, we do, I'm the Chief Clinical Officer of HSE, and we are supporting the pilot, as the ECDC advised, they advise pilot testing, use of antigen tests, and we're doing that, we're sponsoring that in four higher education institutions. We've, in line with our own expert group who examined the validity of this test for asymptomatic workers in meat plant factories, we deployed that and we're using that in serial testing in meat plants. Our public health experts, based on their own local assessment, can deploy antigen tests in outbreak settings or in areas of high prevalence. It doesn't have to be a polarising debate. It's part of the overall armoury, but as a standalone test, it's not something we would advocate as a single test.
Oh, no, that's a much more open point of view that I've heard for the very first time. So I'm glad to hear that, because I thought you were adamantly against it. Just very quickly, I need to finish up here. What state is your IT services and systems in?
Well, this has caused a huge disruption, Mark, and certainly there's going to be a long tail to it. What we've seen is recovery of many individual parts to support clinical services, that capacity of, for example, radiologists to look back at x-rays and look at old reports. All those critical things we needed at the beginning have been restored.
Is the recovery of it going faster than you?
It's going as fast as it can, but it's going to take a long time to link it all together.
Grant, I'm going to leave it there. Chief Clinical Officer with the Health Service, Dr. Colm Henry, thank you very much for that.